want to say this. This may not be appropriate at the time, but I do want to say it's exciting for me to see these kids in worship. Is it to you? If it is? It's just great for me to see them up here and leading the worship. I also want to do one more thing before I start, and that is that the counselors that we have get very little recognition. They're behind the scenes and working with the kids, and the kids love them. And those people that are volunteer counselors, and also Sandra Reeder's another one that, she's my boss. Without her, nothing could take place, I promise. Would y'all stand up right where you are so we could recognize you, the counselors and Sandra. Becky Lee's another one who's the youth coordinator who's just done an unbelievable job. The scripture this morning is from Jeremiah, the first chapter, and the fourth verse. We'll read from 4 to 10. And then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read verses 9 to 12. I hope that you'll all follow along with me. We'll be going to several scriptures, and I'll mean more to you if you read the scripture along with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, that's Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Jeremiah, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And then turn over to 1 Timothy. It's in the New Testament. Chapter 4, we'll actually start reading with verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Okay? I should have told you to keep your finger in Jeremiah because we're going right back there right now. In verse 6, we see that Jeremiah was a young man. He calls himself a child, and God turns around and says, "Yes." And God turns around and says, don't say that about yourself. But in a sense, God confirms that too. We know he's young. He was called to be a prophet in a very perverse and sinful generation. The people were rebellious. The people would stone the prophets. They didn't want to hear God's word. And Jeremiah was afraid. And when God came to him, Jeremiah said, God, I don't know how to speak. What do you mean calling me to be a prophet in the midst of all this that's going on? You mean for me to stand up? God, I'm a child. And God said, I want you to go and to be a prophet to this people. Jeremiah's reward was this. Let me tell you the reward he got here on earth. He was opposed. He was beaten. He was isolated. He was imprisoned. He was lonely. He was rejected. And he was persecuted his whole entire life. And yet he continued to follow God, and yet he continued to stand up and speak for God no matter what happened, because he wasn't concerned about his rewards here from men. He was not afraid of what mere man would say to him. But why did he give up a life of being able to live on his own to go and to be all that, to get the reward that he got, to be beaten and isolated? Why would anyone do that? Why would anyone follow God with the possibilities of what could happen in your school or at work, at business, what people would say, or in the medical field, or as a lawyer, or at home? Why would anyone do that? Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that your word would be spoken. that, Lord, that we would see you in a clearer way than even when we came in. That you would open my heart, that you would open each person's heart here to hear your word, and it would be your word, Lord. And if I won't let you speak through me, then I pray that you'll speak in spite of me. That, Father, we could see that no matter what happens to us, if we know you, that if we stand for you, Lord, wherever we are, that we would be your children and that you would be with us and then lead us and guide us always, even to the end of the earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at verse, we're going to follow through. I'm sort of my style is sort of to teach as well as preach. So we're going to go through the scripture and look at it this way. Starting with verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you, Jeremiah. In a sense, God's making a case here. He comes to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is ready to respond. Jeremiah is only a child. God comes, and he's sort of making a case. And he makes this case with every single one of us. He says, Jeremiah, let me explain something to you before I ask you what I'm fixing to, before I command you to what you're fixing to do, to your purpose in life. He says, Jeremiah, don't think about anything else. Realize this, that I knew you from the time that you were in your womb. Jeremiah, I created you. I know what the stuff is that you're made of. I've known it because I created you. I created you for a purpose. I'm not a God who just creates things just to be creating them. Jeremiah, I know you. I know your name. And I've known you before you ever even knew yourself. I know you, and I know what I've called you to. He goes on to say, before you were born, Jeremiah, I set you apart. Now you got to imagine, here's Jeremiah. Okay, Lord, that's fine. You know me. Okay? You know me since the womb. What's coming next? Jeremiah, I've set you apart. Oh, no. What does that mean, Lord? I've given you a purpose, Jeremiah. I have not only made you, but I've made you with a purpose. And that purpose I'm about to tell you, Jeremiah, you can know what that purpose is in your life. You've got a purpose. We all got a purpose in life that God wants each of us to find. It's not so easy to find always. And I'm not sure that Jeremiah just found it automatically. I think his whole life was a goal of finding that purpose in life that God had for him. But each one of us, from the time that we were born, God had a purpose for us. Now that purpose may be in the midst of the medical field. I've already mentioned some of these. In the midst of the business world, as a minister, at home. But he's got a purpose for each one of us as his children, wherever that is. And it's important to us to find that. Now there's a sense in which, and Jeremiah knew this, because in Jeremiah the 29th chapter and the 13th verse, God speaks through Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. And Jeremiah said, so Jeremiah knew that in a sense God is a mystery to us. In a sense that God keeps himself hidden from just anyone except those who seek him with all their heart. God doesn't just all of a sudden, although he does, I'm not going to limit God, he does in some instances, but in the basic sense, he wants us to search for him with all our heart, not just with a little bit here and there. He says, Jeremiah, I promise you this, you will find me. You will find your purpose that I have for you if you do one thing. If you search for me, and if you do it with everything that you've got, your entire life, whether you're starting at 13 or whether you're starting at 83, if you search for me with all you've got, I'll honor that. If you stand up for me in the way that you know how, the best way that you know how, I'll honor that, Jeremiah. So he says, Jeremiah, I've set you apart, and I've set you apart for a purpose. Now, Jeremiah's purpose was very special. Of course, all of our purposes are very special. God says, I appointed you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. Oh, poor Jeremiah. He comes back and he says, Lord, I'm scared. I would have been too. So would you if God had called any of us to have been a prophet in that time. The people were so rebellious that even the religious leaders of the day, it's very much like in Jesus' day, they didn't want to hear. They would cover their ears and they said, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. And we can look in Acts, where back in the New Testament, and we can see the same type thing in Acts when Stephen was being stoned. The people said Stephen was preaching, and the people covered their ears. They said, we don't want to hear. That's right. They didn't want to hear. It's not a matter of the word wasn't being preached or taught. In Jeremiah's day, he taught the word up all through the country, God's word. And they covered their ears and they said, I don't want to hear anymore. Don't listen. And they pulled out their stones and would stone. And they would shout with a loud voice and scream. I can just imagine. You can imagine. And scream with a loud voice, ah, we don't want to hear. And run after him. And Jeremiah had to preach and teach in that. And yet God called him to do that. And that's what his purpose was. And he never would have been fulfilled doing anything else. His life wouldn't have been content except to do what God had called him to do in that particular situation. Our lives will not be content unless we do what God wants us to do. Now, I'm stressing this over and over again. We don't have to go to Africa. That isn't necessarily what God's calling us to do. You know, we might be in the business world right here in this community, but God has called us to be a witness in this community or anywhere that we are, both in word, that's right, telling people about Jesus, and in deed. And that's giving a cup of cold water to those in need. The next thing is Jeremiah's response. Sounds so much like my own. I know that you're not as wicked as I am in this, but that's exactly what my response would be. Ah, sovereign Lord. You know, he says, Lord, you know everything, but let me tell you something. Surely you've made a mistake here. Please tell me you've made a mistake. Got the wrong guy. I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Now, this sermon is basically toward the youth and to the young people, since it's a youth service. But it's to anyone, because we all have excuses, don't we? It's always, but I've got too much, you know, my business is just too much to it, and I can't spend time being with the Lord. Or I will as soon as I get my family settled, then I will. Or I would have, but it's too late now. There's always excuses, but God says, man, don't worry about that. He says, don't say I'm a child. Don't say that. I will speak through you. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Jeremiah, we're just imagining now, said that maybe Jeremiah's response was something like this. Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak to great men and multitudes as prophets must. I cannot speak finely nor fluently. Cannot word things well as a message from God should be worded. Surely it has to be worded well. I cannot speak with any authority, nor can expect to be heeded, for I'm a child, and my youth will be despised. You know, God never says your youth won't be despised, Jeremiah. But he says, I've called you to a purpose, and you fulfill that purpose. If it's despised, don't worry about it. I'm God, and I'll be with you, lo, even to the end of the earth. If you turn with me to Matthew 28, verse 19, we see something that Jesus said in the New Testament, along the same lines, such a good parallel. Right before Jesus left, or the last words in Matthew go something like this, when he was telling the church, he was telling the apostles, this is your purpose in life, apostles. And he said something at the end that I want you to hear. He said, therefore, and go and make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the earth. See, God doesn't teach us over here and train us right here and then send us out and say, go do it while I train some more people. God trains us, and he walks with us, and he steps with us. And if we're in the high school and we're talking about standing up for Jesus and we think that, man, I can't do it, you know, I've got to be all the things I'm supposed to be as a high school student, or it's the same thing in the business world or wherever. God says, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. You know, I heard an example the other day, and I've seen this in my own life. A youth will say, I'll go up to a youth, and the youth, when he or she is just with me, will say, man, Jim, pray for me. I'm miserable. I really want to give all that I got to the Lord, but I just can't do it. I mean, I want to, but I don't know how. And we'll be talking about that, you know, and he'll be getting excited about it, and all of a sudden somebody will walk up who's one of the, quote, cool friends, ice, all of a sudden. You've seen it. I've done it too. You know, all of a sudden, well, that's great, Jim. Appreciate it, you know. Hey, how's it going to walk off and just cool as can be? Don't live that kind of life. It's a miserable life. There's nothing more miserable than that kind of life. Knowing that you're called of God to be something God wants you to be different, to be set apart. And yet, be it always. Not just coming to church on Sunday morning and going out on Monday through Saturday being anything you want to be. But it's a Christian being a Christian every day. Another scripture is John chapter 14, verse 16. This is a trustworthy saying. Excuse me. Went to Timothy. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. See, the Spirit of Truth is with us. The world cannot accept him, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I haven't left you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live in you. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then down in verse 26, but the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, not confusion, not worry, but peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid of being called my disciples. Do not be afraid of messing up things for me. You won't. That's a fear. I'm not good enough. You know, that's what Jeremiah had. Lord, I'm just a child. I'm not good enough. And God says, don't be afraid. Okay? Y'all always keep your finger in Jeremiah because you're going to have to go back there. God says, verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. Can you imagine this child? And he hears this? I mean, God, how much can he handle? He's going to be a prophet. And God says, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And that was by the words that Jeremiah spoke. He did all that by the end of his life. I mean, that's a pretty tall task. But God went with him, and I challenge you to continue to read in Jeremiah the things that have said. God called Jeremiah, and he responded. And God blessed Jeremiah, although God never said he wouldn't go through some persecution and some tough times. And if you think that in order to be a Christian, in order to be at school or whatever, you know, that you've got to be careful not to be persecuted, yes, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus promised that. I don't mean to surprise anybody, but Jesus promised that we would all be in some way or another persecuted for our faith. And if we're not, maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we're living wrong in some way. Now, I'm not talking about anything too radical. I don't believe I'm talking about Jesus' own words. And I hear the expression so much, and these are in somewhat valid expressions. These are valid expressions in some way. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Or, hey, let's don't get too excited about this thing, you know. Don't get too overcommitted. Don't get too zealous. Jesus never said anything like that. And I'll admit that in some ways that those statements are good. But I'd submit to you today that in this time and age that we live in now, we have no problem. Not in my experience, not what I've seen. I've seen very few people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But I've seen a lot of people who are so earthly minded that they're not doing anything for the Lord at all. As a matter of fact, tearing down more than building up. Because people look and say, if that person's a Christian, well, gosh, I can do that too. And they're doing all that. I can do that too. I hardly ever see anybody, people that are too overzealous, but I see a lot of people who are not excited enough about their relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not in danger when we're talking to people about the Lord, or when we're living our life for the Lord, we're not in danger of offending people because we're a Christian. You know, we're so worried about sharing Jesus because people will say, well, that's your faith, and they'll be offended. Well, I submit to you again that I don't know anyone that's really in danger of that. But I sure do know a lot of people who are in danger of letting people sit and rot and die as they cry out for help, and we're looking the other way. I do see a lot of that. And yes, we're being very offensive to those people because they need help. They need a cup of cold water. They need food. They need the Lord. They want the Lord. They desire God. But we look the other way because we're afraid of what they'll say to us, and they're crying out. There's a song by a contemporary Christian group called Petra, and it goes something like this. Another sleepy Sunday morning, safe within the walls, outside a dying world, and desperation calls. And it goes on to say, so many rose-colored stained glass windows, never allowing the world to come in, seeing no evil and feeling no pain. Isn't that more what it's like today? Sorry it's so late. I didn't realize it's past 12. We'll close with a prayer. I challenge you to look at the 1 Timothy scripture later. Let's pray. Father, we are challenged by the words of Jesus that said that out of our lives will flow, from our bellies will flow torrents of living water, Father. Lord, we admit sometimes that we are little streams and meadows. When God, you've called us to be mountain torrents of water pouring across rocks that cannot be dammed up. That you've called us to be what you want us to be, where that is you want us to be. Help us to find that purpose in our lives. Father, we praise you and thank you and love you, that you are our God, that you're real, that you will be known to us if we allow ourselves to be known to you. We praise your name. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask that we have a few seconds of silent prayer that you can respond. Make your pew an altar and respond to God's word.